If I could play music on these, the song I would be playing is Free Falling by Tom Petty.
That would
Because
be appropriate.
that's what this team is doing. Wow. Yeah. Like we said before we recorded, things have changed a lot since the last time we talked a month or two ago. Let's go back to last week. The trade deadline, they traded Jake Gensel. Were you surprised at the return for him?
No, I wasn't. We had heard the rumors all along that the Dubas was looking for prospects and not draft picks. So, the thing you have to take into consideration is all the GMs in the league knew that the Penguins were trying to trade Jake Gensel. So they weren't really dealing from a position of strength, so to speak. And he's also a rental. If he was signed to, a longer term deal, they probably could have gotten Carolina's first or second prospect. But, I know I hear a lot of people saying, well, they got a bunch of third line guys. Well, every team needs third line players too. Especially a good third line center. And as we recall with Penguins winning the Cups, they had good third line centers. So it sounds like they got a good third line center. And don't forget, Michael Bunting is a very capable NHL player as well. It could possibly end up that the Penguins end up with a first round pick and a fifth round pick. Even the second round pick, the Flyers' second round pick, the Flyers are kind of losing some games here lately. So that second round Flyers pick, which it might end up being, could end up being a good pick as well. Obviously, I would have liked to see them get more or get a, one, the Carolinas maybe number one or number two prospect. But, these guys that are coming in for the Penguins, all of a sudden, they're the Penguins' number two and number three best prospects because the cover is pretty bare down in Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, there's nothing down in Wilkes-Barre. The whole thing about, yeah, Jake was a rental. It looks like he is definitely wants to test the free agency markets this season. He doesn't, doesn't want to sign anything with Carolina. Just wants to go out there, and that's fine. But I heard the Penguins didn't even try to sign him. And I think that has caused a lot of problems. Why would they not even attempt to keep him?
Yeah, that sounds a bit suspicious to me. I read some of the stuff that Jake was surprised that he was traded. Well, that's pretty shocking if he didn't realize that he was going to be traded, especially the direction the team went in once he got injured. I kind of find that hard to believe that they may not have made him a formal offer, but they may have went to him and said, "Hey, this is what we're thinking. What do you think?" And he may have said, no, that's not the number. But there may not have been a formal offer that he could have, signed at that time. I know this has been brought up by others. I know it's a long shot, but I wouldn't be surprised if he re-signed with the Penguins in the offseason. I think that he has such a chemistry with Sidney Crosby. And I mean, he would never say this, and this is just very pure speculation on my part. I wonder if in the back of his mind that he wonders, can I do as well as I did in Pittsburgh on my own without playing with Sidney Crosby? And the thing that with this scenario, though, if I'm the Penguins, I wouldn't venture any further than a 5-year contract. And I don't know if Jake would be willing to do that because this is his last chance at big money. So who knows? I mean, hey, you have Bunting on one side and Gensel on the other side. That's not a terrible first line. And then you can move Russ down to play with Malkin. It sounds far-fetched, but we do see guys go back to teams that they've been with before. I mean, I think David Perron has been back and forth with the St. Louis Blues about seven times. Mark Recchi came back to the Penguins a couple of times. We see it. Maybe not as big a name as Jake Gensel, but I wouldn't completely rule it out either.
That's like some pro wrestling double cross moves or something like that. Like, oh my God, Jake is back. I don't think that's going to happen because I think some team is going to pay him a stupid amount of money and a stupid amount of years. I'm just a guess. I'm guessing like 8 years and 100 million or something like that. Something outrageous that. The Penguins are gonna like, yeah, good luck with that. There's no way we can match that. I don't,
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that's gonna happen. And I this is good that he is playing with another team for a couple months, because he could see what it's like without Sid and then evaluate that and say, oh, you know, I could do just fine without him, or he could say, oh my God, I want Sid back. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I know, everybody heard that Vancouver really, really wanted him, but the asking price was too high. So they might be the team in the summer that offers him a ridiculous amount of money, and that would be one place where he would be comfortable with a lot of the personnel and the players. Because I mean, I think Vancouver has five or six former Penguins on their team, plus Rick Tocchet, plus Jim Rutherford. There's a lot of familiarity there, so we could see that. But yeah, I mean, the most that somebody could sign him for would be 7 years. If the Penguins would have signed him, they could have signed him for eight. But now the most that they could sign him for in the offseason would be seven. So, but man, 7 years, I don't know. I mean, again, this is a completely outrageous scenario. If they were to re-sign him in the offseason, I wouldn't sign him any further past 5 years. That would be,
He'd have to take a nice hometown discount to do that. So one of the players they got is Bunting, and we've seen him for a couple games already. He seems like something they haven't had in a long time, and that's someone that's hard-nosed and actually like goes to the net and stuff. He looks and he's actually trying now. So what are your impressions of Bunting so far?
I like him. He's not afraid to get in there and mix it up. The first thing I always do when a new player gets signed by the Penguins, just given their lack of toughness, is I go to hockeyfights.com and I see if they've been in any fights. And Michael Bunting's been in a few, five or six that I could see. Which, I don't want a goon, don't get me wrong, but I want somebody who maybe every once in a while will stand up for his teammates. And Bunting seems to be that guy. He's the modern day version of Chris Kunitz. Maybe not as talented or skilled as Chris Kunitz, but playing on Sidney Crosby's line makes you better. I don't think he's ever played with a talent the likes of Sidney Crosby. Most people haven't. So that's the thing. I think a lot of people are forgetting that they did get an NHL player in this deal as well, and he's pretty good NHL player as well that I think can slot in on that wing with Sidney Crosby.
And the thing about being a wing for Sidney Crosby is he's so particular, and they've tried so many times over the years to get a winger for him, and it just gets rejected. So it's nice that he seems to fit in. That seems to be a good line, Crosby, Rust, and Bunting. So at least they have one line that could possibly score.
That's it, one line.
That's right.
Beyond that, boy, this team is just
Oof. Oof.
it's as they called the Pirates a couple years ago, it's a hodgepodge of nothingness.
That's right. That's right. It's very, very accurate. Are you surprised nobody else got dealt? Riley Smith, Raquel, anybody. It was basically the only other person that got dealt was Ruedel.
Yeah, I think the problem with the guys that the Penguins were trying to deal was that they still had term on their contract. And I think the players the teams that would need a guy like a Lars Eller or like a Raquel, they needed them for a Stanley Cup run this year. They don't want them for the next year or the next 2 years. They need them for the Stanley Cup run this year. So I would have liked to have seen Raquel or Smith or even Nedeljkovic. I was surprised that Nedeljkovic didn't get traded. That was the one that really surprised me. He's only signed this season. He's been very good for the Penguins for the most part, and for teams that need goaltending depth, I thought for sure like an Edmonton maybe would, try to shore up their goaltending, which they didn't do at all. I was surprised that he didn't go. I was surprised that Hellberg was the goalie that got traded, who, what he, I think he played one game in the NHL this year. That was a little bit surprising to me, but given the term that, most of the guys that Dubas is trying to trade still had more term left on their contracts, I think that was kind of a sticking point for a lot of them.
I think, yeah, and I think a lot of it was even if they wanted to get players, a lot of these contending teams just didn't have the cap space, so they're stuck. So yeah, and the ones that did get traded got like nothing. It's like, why are you gonna? Yeah, it would be nice to dump some salary, but you're getting like a fifth or sixth round draft pick in return. Like it's nothing. Might as well just hold on to them.
Yeah, I was actually surprised at the return they were able to get for Chad Ruedel, a fifth round
Yeah.
pick. I mean, I know it's not until 2027, but that's a pretty good return for essentially a seventh defenseman. And don't get me wrong, Chad Ruedel was very good for the Penguins these last couple seasons, and I think for a contending team like the Rangers, he's the perfect piece. That sixth, seventh defenseman. But I thought that maybe they would trade him for a sixth or seventh to get a fourth round pick for Ruedel. I thought was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jason Zucker got like a fifth or sixth or something like that. Like,
Yeah.
jeez. But ever since then, and actually before then, it has just been a free fall. They hardly win. They hardly score. It looks like they're all checked out. It looks like they don't care. And this is insane because they're 7 points out of a playoff spot. What has happened with this team? Do they just not care, or are they mad that Jake's gone, or they what happened?
It's really shocking. I mean, that game against the Capitals that they lost 6-0 was the most important game of their season, playing against the team at that time that was 1 point ahead of you in the standings. And listen, I know that was the day that they all knew Jake Guentzel was going to get traded. He got traded immediately after the game. But to not get up for that game, I mean, to just not show up at all, that was pretty shocking. And then ever since then, it almost you could go back to that Calgary game, and I think something happened in that Calgary game where it was just like, well, we know what happened. The meltdown at the end of the game, it was almost like
It broke him.
they threw their hands up in the air after that game. It was like, it's just not our year, it's just not our season. And I think that's where the downward spiral began.
What, they were up 3-1 in the third period of that game and ended up losing 4-3 in regulation, didn't even get a point.
Yeah, I mean, Calgary was basically trying to give them a point,
Yeah.
and they didn't take it. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's the as you said, the rest of the cast besides the core has basically been nothing, but even the core now isn't doing anything. Sidney Crosby, it seems like ever since the Guentzel trade, he's just I don't know, is he's either hurt or not productive or mad or something. What happened with Crosby?
I wonder how much of an effect the Jake Guentzel thing is having on him. The thing that I don't necessarily buy into with that is he had been playing without Jake for a while.
Right. He's been hurt,
He was
so
on long-term
yeah.
injured reserve. I'm not sure what happened to him. He is 36. Maybe it's just an age thing, but I saw somewhere he's like minus 12 in his last 7 games or something like that. I mean, that's crazy. Evgeny Malkin, just to go with the big three, Evgeny Malkin has one shot in his past 4 games. How does your second line center, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, only have one shot in 4 games?
Yeah.
And looking at the plus minus, Chris Letang is plus 6 right now. I remember at one point in this season, I think the last time we talked, he was like plus 13, plus 14. Carlson was plus 13, 14. Now they're all the way down to only plus 6. Evgeny Malkin's exactly even. He was a big plus at one point during the season. They just look defeated as soon as they take the ice these past few games. They continue to just bang their head against the wall on the power play, just trying to do the same thing over and over again. It's just not working. Nothing is working. And it almost looks like they're just now resigned to the fact that they're not going to make the playoffs. And it's a little shocking to see.
And just about every year, since Crosby's been around, they've made the playoffs, and usually it's not no doubt. Last year, it took until like the second to last game of the season to be eliminated from the playoffs, and now even though they're sort of within range, they're playing like these are meaningless games. I wonder if they're just like you said, the Calgary game, I know broke them, and they just haven't been the same since then. And maybe they've just resigned to the fact that it's like we're not making the playoffs, and they're playing virtually meaningless games. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're this is the first time they're realizing, oh, this is it. This is the end. We're not good. We're not making the playoffs. And so this is going to be a rough month.
Yeah, I mean, this is a whole new experience for Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and to a lesser extent, excuse me, Brian Rust. Even up until the last two games of the season last year, they were playing in meaningful games, but it just seems like that they've, like I said earlier, just resigned to the fact like we're not going to make the playoffs, even though, like you said, they're only 7 games out. They got San Jose tomorrow, the worst team in the league. They got Columbus two more times, the second worst team in the league. I mean, they do have winnable games left. They have a game against the Devils left, who are in a complete tailspin. They have two with Detroit left, who have the league's worst losing streak currently right now. There are winnable games in there. But it just looks like they're completely checked out. Other than Tristan Jarry, he played a really good game last night. I think he might want that overtime goal back, but I think overall he played a really good game last night. But he can't do it all.
Yeah. And yet, Mike Sullivan is still coaching. He really hasn't changed anything. And apparently there's no indication that his job is in jeopardy at all. Dubas has basically said he's not going anywhere. They've basically tuned him out. How is this guy still having a job? Anywhere else, he'd be fired a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm surprised there isn't more chatter about this. I know that he's not telling the players on the power play to go out there and turn the puck over and not
Yeah.
shoot the puck and things like that. But a couple of things like his just reluctance to play the younger guys to even give them a chance. Reluctance to how do you not play Jesse Puljujarvi against Edmonton, his former team, twice in a week? He played games on either side of those games, and then you're looking for like always looking for like extra motivation to go into games. You would think like, oh, my former team, the team that drafted me, I'm gonna
Yeah, yeah.
he doesn't play, and one of the few players in the lineup that brings a physical element, he refused to play John Ludwig until Chad Ruedel got traded, and then he had no choice. He had to put him in the lineup. Again, the one of the maybe three guys on the roster that has a physical edge to him. These young guys come up, they either play on the third or fourth line or don't dress at all. He experiments with things, but he doesn't stick with experiments. Like he put Malkin on Crosby's wing for a couple of shifts in the I think it was the Edmonton game in Edmonton. And it's like, okay, just stick with it. But three
Yeah.
shifts later, the lines are back to the way they were. And it's like you got to give things a longer amount of time than three shifts. I mean, if Evgeny Malkin's been playing center his entire life, obviously he knows how to play the wing, but it's probably going to take him three shifts just to, like, oh, okay, I'm playing the wing. Let me get, So, there are a lot of things where, it seems like Mike Sullivan is just very stubborn about it. Listen, he's a great coach. Don't get me wrong. But every coach has a shelf life. And, if he sticks around, it's because the veteran guys want him to be here. They don't want to go through a coaching change. But I would definitely consider bringing in a more, like, hard-nosed guy that can get a different message through to these players, because right now the message isn't getting through.
Yeah, and even if, okay, fine, he's gonna stick around, so be it. But he doesn't change any, okay, he doesn't change anything in terms of system. It's the same system, even though it's not working. Let's do the same thing, the same breakouts, same crap, whatever. But how the heck? And yes, I know the power play is basically on the players, but how do you not fire the power play coach? You got at least shoot a hostage or something. I mean, my goodness, it's something gotta change.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Matt Canada thing with the Steelers. Just make a change. And yeah, I don't blame Todd Reirden 100%, but I mean, to have four guys, maybe even five at times, that are going to be in the Hall of Fame someday on a power play unit, and not be able to figure out how to not even score, but to prevent shorthanded goals the other way. It's just kind of mind-boggling. And, like, I do agree with what Jarmo Yager said. He said they all respect each other too much, and that's why they don't score. There is some merit to that, but I mean, to have the talent that these guys have on the not only the first power play, but the second. I mean, especially when they're splitting Crosby and Malkin up. To be ranked 30th in the league on the power play, that is just unacceptable. And like I said, it's kind of like the Matt Canada thing. Just for the sake of trying something new, yeah, maybe you need to fire Todd Reirden, but it's too late now. But that should have happened probably 2 months ago.
There's different systems. There's different philosophies to a power play. There's different methods. Try something different. If it's so obvious what's working is not, what's doing is not working, just try something different. I don't know. I mean, it's a lost cause by now,
It's
but
all perimeter passing. Watch
yes.
the power play. It's all perimeter passing. And I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, well, they had 40 shots in this game. 40. I think the last three, four games, they're averaging almost 40 shots a game, but they're scoring 0 and 1 goals a game. What does that tell you about the quality of the shots? They're all coming from the perimeter. There's nobody going to the net. There's nobody wreaking havoc in front of the goalie. All the shots are from the perimeter.
It's shots that you and I could save. There's nothing. There's no one in front. They have a clear. The goalie has a clear view. Yeah. They need that. They need more people like Bunting. They need more people. And I still don't understand why they never got people like Kunitz or Hornquist to, these hard nosed guys that go to the Nets. So maybe they will get people like that. I don't know, but maybe I don't know. It's just mystifying.
That is definitely a big need in the off season, and they need more than just Michael Bunting doing.
There has to be someone in Wilkes-Barre. If you're gonna play like the games don't matter and you're out of it, why not bring up Sam Poulin and that one dude who Dubas from the trade, who Dubas said is almost NHL re ready, that Vasily Ponomarev, whatever his name is. Why not bring them up? Why not bring some new people just to see what they could do? Poulin, I mean, he's been around forever. You got to, at some point, you got to give him a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I did see And again, I'm still learning these names. Ponomarev is playing in Wilkes-Barre tonight.
Okay.
But that's a start. And the goalie they got from Florida is also dressed for Wilkes-Barre tonight. But it's like we talked about earlier. These guys never get a chance to come up here and play. I mean, what is there to lose at this point in the season? I hate to do it to Jeff Carter in probably the last like 15 games of his career, but maybe scratch him for a game and get one of these guys in there. They traded away Ty Smith. Ty Smith never got a chance up here. He came up last year when Letang was out for a little while, quarterback, the number one power play unit, looked pretty good doing it. And then we never saw him again. And listen, I'm not saying that he's going to be Chris Letang. He's not. But for him to go the whole season in Wilkes-Barre and never get
Never got a chance.
all once, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, Gruden, they did waive Gruden and he cleared waivers and now he's back in Wilkes-Barre. Maybe that's a move that they did in anticipation of calling somebody up tomorrow. I don't know. But again, it's time to call anybody that's in Wilkes-Barre that has any aspiration, that the Penguins have any aspirations that they might be an NHL player, should be up here.
What do you have to lose? At least see what they could do. See what they might do for next year. Who knows? This off season is hopefully going to be very interesting. Okay, they couldn't get rid of some of these guys at the trade deadline, but are they going to try to get rid of some of these players at in the off season? Riley Smith, Graves, Raquel, Eller. Do you think those guys will be gone?
Yeah, I think, all the names you mentioned, I think that they're not completely soured on Graves. I think with the defensemen, and we've seen it before, with Gonchar and way back with Paul Martin, like they had atrocious first seasons when they were in their first year of contract with the Penguins, and then they really turned around. And that gives me hope for Graves and Carlson. Now Carlson, he's still getting his points and everything, but I was expecting a lot better from him. So hopefully in year two, because they're definitely not going to be able to move Carlson. I would be shocked if they can move him. And I do think that he could actually still be a very useful player. I mean, my God, the guy won the Norris Trophy last year and he had 100 points. But Riley Smith, hey, call up Vegas, say, listen, this trade didn't work out for either one of us. I mean, Vegas is barely in a playoff spot right now. Give us the second round pick back that we gave you. Let's just redo the trade. Raquel, he's been such a disappointment too. I really had good, hope for, a 20 goal season from him this year, and it's just not happening. Maybe you could trade a Lars Eller, a Noel Chari. We'll see. I just, it's going to be hard to move all of those guys. But then again, look at what Dubas did this past offseason and all the bad contracts he was able to get rid of. So, maybe you don't get market value for them, but you just move them to clear cap space. A Noel Chari for a fifth round pick or something like that. Or not Noel Chari, Lars Eller. Because I do think Lars Eller could be, useful to another team. I think he could be useful to the Penguins, actually. That's one guy I might consider actually. But it's gonna be hard to rid yourself of everything. The good thing is the salary cap is going up. So you do have a little bit of money to play with. I think Dubas actually said that he's estimating like 12, 13 million in cap space to play with
Oh wow.
off season.
Oh, that's the team has that much.
Yeah, because you're ridding yourself of the Jeff Carter contract, and some others as well. So we'll see what happens. I think that they will be active in free agency. I this is still not a rebuild. This is a retool. As long as you have the I'll call them the big four now because of Carlson. They're not gonna just go into complete rebuild mode while all those four guys are here.
They still have, they're still paying Jeff Petrie for some reason. I don't know. I guess maybe that was part of the trade that they would take some of his salary or something like that, but they're still paying Jack Johnson until for the next 2 or 3 years. They're paying Jack Johnson almost $1 million.
Yes.
Cause yeah, but buying outs is don't kids,
Yeah, because
don't do buy it. Don't do buy it in the NHL. It does not work.
from what I remember, buyouts, the way they work is however many years were left on the deal, it's spread out times two. So if there was 2 years left on the deal, it's spread out over the course of 4 years.
Oh
So
boy.
yeah, that Jack Johnson deal, I can't, I am not
Oh.
paying that. But I mean, for the situation that the Penguins are in, look at San Jose. They're trying to rebuild, and they're paying Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, and now Thomas Hertl for 6 years. I'm trying to figure out what they're doing. They're in the middle of a rebuild, but 20% of their salary cap is the guys that aren't even on the team.
It's crazy. That's crazy. Malkin is signed until 25-26. Letang is signed until 27-28. But Crosby, his contract is done at the end of 24-25, and there's talks that they'll try to extend him in this offseason. Do you think it's a slam dunk that he'll re-sign with the Penguins, or is it possible he'll go somewhere else?
No, I mean, I guess you never say never. I would say that there's a less than 1% chance that he goes and finishes his career or else. I think Mario is his idol, and he wants to be like Mario, have that one jersey for his entire career. And listen, he can be part of the rebuild. And I know I said they're not rebuilding, but they technically are. The three of them and Carlson can be part of another playoff team here, but they have to be bought into it. They have to be bought into changing their style of play. They have to be bought into potentially having a new coach. And, I'm not saying next year, but maybe in 2 years, they're back right in the thick of a playoff race. And once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. We see eight seeds advance to the conference finals all the time. But you have to have the buy-in from those four. But, to go back to your original question, I would just be absolutely shocked if Sidney Crosby said, I want to be traded or I'm going to go sign with another team. I mean, he's been here 19 seasons. He's won everything you could possibly win. What would be left for him to go accomplish other than, hey, I don't want to really be on this rebuilding team. I want to go play one more time for a championship. But why does he need that? He's won everything there already is.
Right. What are you gonna do? Be like Ray Bourque and sign with Colorado so you could win your cup? That was, it's like a, well, I don't want to say what that's like, but there's a huge, this is a huge moment for them because they're realizing the way they're doing things isn't working. They last year you could say was a fluke, and last year you could say, oh well, we barely all we almost made the playoffs, there's a couple points up, but this year has been a complete failure. And you have to think this year is going how basically Crosby, Malkin and Letang and Sullivan want, and it's been a disaster. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting how this offseason works out. Do you think Dubas is getting enough criticism for how this season has gone?
I mean, it has not gone great. The free agents that he brought in, Lars Eller's been good. I mean, he's been what we expected. Reilly Smith has been a terrible disappointment. Nedeljkovic has been great. Matt Nieto got hurt. We don't know what kind of impact he would have had. I as bad as the season has gone, I think you have to give Dubas a mulligan on this season. I mean, given this situation that he inherited with, the bad contracts that he did get rid of, I'll give him a mulligan for one season. But if we go through this again next season where he signs all the wrong free agents, that's going to be a real problem. I would say if you're grading him, you have to give him an incomplete because it's just too small of a sample size.
When all those deals happened, I didn't hear any criticism.
No.
Everybody was praising all those deals and how wonderful it was that he got all rid of all those bad contracts and brought in Carlson. So, okay, hindsight's 2020. Now you can't criticize them now just because, the things didn't work out. But at the time, they looked good. On paper, Riley Smith, Graves, all these guys, they looked fine. So
It's still shocking, by the way, that he was able to pull off what he did in getting rid of all those bad contracts, bringing in Erik Karlsson, and saving money under the cap. They actually were paying less money under the cap after all those moves and bringing in a guy who's making $11 million a year.
and
Now,
like you said, got San Jose to pay some of his salary.
yeah, I know they're not paying the whole 11 million. I mean, it's crazy. And probably the smartest thing he did, which I know is a common practice, but he top 10 protected that first round pick for San Jose. So
It's perfect. It's perfect because now, if they keep playing horribly, I think right now they're fourth from last in the conference. I'm not sure where they're at in
like the other day they were 11, but only like 1 point up. So.
there you go. There you go. Keep losing. Maybe the tank is on. Get a lottery pick. Get a go. Yeah. And that's a great thing is yeah, you're that's that they get to keep that pick because
Yeah, that was
that's
smart on his
awesome.
part. And again, I know that's a common practice amongst general managers, but it's looking like a really good move right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we will see. It's going to be a very, very interesting off season. Where can people find you, follow you, and get more of your work?
Yeah, you could find me on Twitter or X, whatever they're calling it these days, at PGHVC. And if you're interested in the official report, you could just Google official report, FISCHLER report, and you can find it there. It's you'll probably find it under the hockey news. It's part of the hockey news, but kind of its own separate entity. So yeah, look for me there. Look for me on Twitter, and be glad to have some more followers for sure.
That's Stan Fischler, right?
Yes.
He's 91.
He is. There was just a great feature on him on ESPN, probably about 2 months ago. He's actually living in Israel right now with his son, and they were talking about what it's like to live in a kind of a war-torn country right now. And he still rides his bike every day. I keep in communication with him, talk to him probably once a week or so. Just he always wants to know what's going on with the Penguins, of course. And he loves his Rangers and Islanders, so we talk about them. But he's great. I mean, he's so sharp. Like, he knows everything that's going on in the league at the age of 91, and I he's going to be writing for a long, long time, I think. And I'm one of the people championing to get him into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's him and his
Oh, definitely.
have
Oh, he should
written.
have been in there a long time ago. Yeah.
Him and his wife have written like the Bibles of hockey over the years. And his wife passed away a few years ago, but it's shocking that he is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame already. He's in a bunch of other Hall of Fames, like North America Hall of Fame, things like that, New York Sports Writing Hall of Fame, but we need to get him into the Hall of Fame.
I just remember him in the 90s writing, like he would come up with some pretty good rumors about what was going on with the Penguins and stuff. I remember being angry at him for some of the stuff he was reporting, but he's a legend. Wow. That's good for him.
Great guy to work with.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I'll talk to you another time and we'll see what happens in a little bit 'cause this it's crazy what's going on with this team now.
Yeah, thanks for having me anytime. And yeah, it's not only will the off season be interesting, but these next few weeks will be interesting as well.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.